When Light and Dark Battle for the Soul of Our Children. That's coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thanks so much for being here with me. We are going to have such a fantastic time talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Chris Watcher. She is the author of the book, The Sorcerer's Bane, which is book one of the Seven Words book series. It's available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Let me tell you, this is a story of light and darkness, of development and growth, of some really interesting things that happen when light and darkness battle for our souls. And so what I want you to do is this. Go ahead and get your friends and your family and join us for this wonderful conversation with Chris Watcher, who is the author of this book. I'm so excited to bring this book to you because, as I was telling Chris before the show began, this book reminds me of why I started to read fantasy. My very first fantasy book I read was Terry Brooks' Shannara series, and I had found it when I was rifling through the shelves at Barnes & Noble, where I used to work at, about 10, 12 years ago. And I saw the book. I said, oh, this looks pretty interesting, and I bought the book just based off the cover. I didn't read any of the blurbs or anything. I just bought the book because the cover looked very interesting, and I started to read. And reading The Sorcerer's Bane, getting into that world that Chris has so effortlessly developed, brought me back to the reason of why I love fantasy, why I love speculative fiction, and why Christians, when they use speculative fiction effectively, can bring such a wonderful tale to tell our readers. If you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Right Stuff, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guests on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J., and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, I'm so very glad you are here with me today. I forgot to announce that we do have another member of the PJC Media Network. He just launched his show last Saturday called The Craig Carlisle Show, and it airs on Saturdays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 12:30 PST time. I hope you join us for that show as well. It's really exciting to see how PJC Media is growing, and we have a lot of shows for you to listen to from Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays, Fridays and Saturdays. Lots of great content for you to listen to. So make sure you subscribe to our channel by going to pjcmedia.net and find out what all the fuss is about. We keep it real here with real Christian talk. And one thing I'm excited about with this particular show, as we highlight the source, Ruth Bain, is that I get the opportunity to interview authors who are not afraid to delve into the dark of life. They're not afraid to tackle these hard questions that people have. In The Sorcerer's Bane, light and dark battle for the soul of a six-year-old boy. And this is extremely significant because we see light and dark battling today in our society. One of the most horrible evils of our society is the sex trafficking industry. This industry is a $1 billion industry. And we can all bemoan the fact that it's out there. We can all bemoan the fact that there are children who are right now, as we speak, being hurt. But at the same time, what are we doing as part of the light? Are we praying? Are we asking the Lord to give those children a break? Are we asking those workers or those people who are perpetrators, are we asking for their not necessarily their demise, or asking for them to be caught so you can give these children and these people who are caught in this a break? So one of the things that you're going to notice as you read The Sorcerer's Bane is that this is a six-year-old boy who is being thrown into the darkness. And if it disturbs you with this, it should disturb us in other areas of our life. And I want to talk about this with Chris because I know some people probably have objected to you using so young of a protagonist who is going through these awful things. And mind you, so far there's just been a lot of abuse with this young boy. We kind of just jump into the story. There's been a lot of abuse with this young boy, but at the same time, this young boy has an inner strength that is reflected in how he is handling this abuse. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about Prince Rain, but don't give any spoilers because I'm still reading.
Hi, Parker. Thanks for having me on your show. And
I forgot about that part. I forgot to say, you know, we're talking to Chris Watcher. Okay, let me back up. We are talking to Chris Watcher, the author of The Sorcerer's Bane and the series, the seven-word series. And you got to understand, I just finished reading a lot of this book right now, and so I'm so immersed in her world that I forgot to just introduce her properly. Chris, thank you for being with us on the show. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Now that that is done, tell us a little bit about Prince Rain.
Well, Prince Rain is born as a child of prophecy. The very beginning of book one has a prophecy that indicates that a child will be born from the royal line and that he will be the one to bring light back to the worlds of Aachen and bind the living darkness. So for 1,000 years since that prophecy was issued, the demons have been trying to destroy this particular family line, but it had been protected. And the one who is God, the one in the stories, he has his own plan, and the plan involves this particular young man. So at his birthday, when he's 6 years old, he's kidnapped, and his voice and his memories are both blocked, so he can no longer remember who he is, and he can no longer speak, and he gets plunged into this world of darkness. Sigmund's plan, Sigmund being the main demon at this point, is to actually have him kill his own parents when he turns 16, which is the year of prophecy.
And what I like that you did with this, the prophecy, and this is a trope that some fantasy books use, but you did it very effectively. Like, you did not use this prophecy and keep it going forever and ever and ever. There is not a constant, oh, the prophecy's coming, oh, the prophecy's coming, you know. And I remember, you know, the older fantasy books, they always had that element in there because you were always looking forward to this this hope that was coming, this prophecy, the prophecy, you know. I like how you didn't use that. You kind of say, okay, here's what's going to happen. You got an idea, boom, let's get the story started. And so I like that you use that effectiveness. So I want people to know a little bit about who you are. So tell us who you are in your own words.
Okay. I am a 65-year-old grandmother.
Who doesn't look it?
Pardon?
I say you don't look it.
Oh, thank you. yeah, with a lovely granddaughter and grandson. I have been a voracious reader from the time I started reading, and that, I think, is what has propelled me into writing. I never thought I'd be a writer. I do have a degree in English education and performing arts. I thought I was going to be the school English teacher and direct the play, and that never really happened. But 3 years ago, I was meeting with a couple other people from my neighborhood. They were both interested in writing their memoirs, so we were doing short pieces. So I became part of that group. We were doing like 3-page pieces, and their response to my writing was so positive. They just kept saying, you really ought to write a book. So one day after we met, I came home, I sat down in front of my laptop, and I started writing, and I really felt like the Lord was leading me in the whole process. He really was, because I had no idea what I was doing. But I've learned a lot since then. I've gone to conferences. I've met with other people. I'm part of a critique group now. So everything has been polished a lot more than what it was when I originally started writing.
I like the fact that, sort of like Rain in our story, you're discovering yourself. You know, you knew you always were a voracious reader. And I think readers who are voracious often make the best writers. And the reason why is because they know how to tell a good story, because they know what they're looking for in a good story. And I always tell authors and people who want to be writers, I said, you have to be a reader before you can be a writer. Now, you don't have to be a writer to be a reader, but you do have to be a reader to be a writer. Tell us why reading is so important to hone a writer's craft.
Okay. When my boys were growing up, one of the things that I did, even while they were young, was to read them adult books. Mm-hmm. And my purpose in that was the only way they could pick up the cadence of language and how words really worked together was to hear it spoken, to hear it read to them. And it didn't mean that they didn't get children's books, but it meant they also got adult books. And that's why I think being a reader, you hone your ear. And it's important to read in the genre that you're going to write in, but it's also important to read across genres so that you get a feeling for a variety of subjects and variety of things that you can not necessarily use in your writing, but you might. And that only comes through the effort of doing that over time.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I know a good friend of mine who is a fantasy writer. He, you know, I write romance, Chris, and he's like, I will probably have to have toothpicks stabbed into my eyes before I actually read romance. And so I told him, I said, you have to read romance because romance is very effective in showing how a relationship develops and how a relationship stretches over time as different obstacles are thrown inside of these people's relationship, you know. And so he did not believe me. He did not believe me. I said, you cannot effectively write a story about someone falling in love if you don't read at least a couple of romance.
Yes.
They don't have to be the hot erotic ones. We're just talking about just regular sweet, gentle romances, or even a little spicier if you want, whatever. But you got to at least be able to read across genres. The only thing I probably wouldn't read, Chris, is a book about taxes. I probably wouldn't read a book about taxes. I don't want to know. I am not interested in taxes, you know. And so I totally like how you just brought that together because it does help you hone that craft. And like you already have an English degree, and so the Lord's already giving you the tools that you use with your story, The Sorcerer's Bane. Again, we're talking to Chris Watcher, who is the author of The Sorcerer's Bane, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So let's talk about you some more. What does your writing process look like? Because someone said, hey, you should write a story. You go, okay, that sounds like a great idea. Oh, this didn't sound very good. Now it sounds better. So what's your writing process look like? Because I like to share this information for other authors out there who want to start writing, but they don't know where to start. And so I like to see what different authors do to gain their experience when it comes to writing their manuscripts.
Well, I'm definitely not an outliner. I'm definitely a pantser. I just sort of follow the flow of the story. And that, to me, is exciting, and part of the joy of writing is to have the story unveiling itself as I move forward. You know, I've heard the statement that characters write themselves, and I didn't know what that meant until one particular character in the series, the moment I started typing in what this character was saying, he was the exact opposite of what I thought he was going to be. I had him all planned out, you know, in my mind. I didn't have an outline, but I had an idea of where I wanted him to go and what he was going to be part of. But as soon as I started typing it, words were coming out that just absolutely amazed me, because I'm like, you're not the person I thought you were going to be. So that character really did write himself. You know, and you talked about the romance and the importance of understanding romance and developing relationships. As I was writing, I knew that there had to be a love interest. But now the love interest I think people expect to happen is not the one that happens, but another love interest that does come in book two, actually. And I hope I haven't had a spoiler too much there.
Well, no, you know, one thing about this book is that there's so much to gain, because this book, we follow the development of this young boy named Prince Rain, who is renamed Ren. And I like that aspect of renaming. One thing I've noticed, Chris, for myself, is that for me, and this is something I didn't know until a reader actually pointed out to me, I tend to call my characters by different names. So my character may be known as Joan to one character, but they're known as Jay to another character, because I think we are different things to different people. And Rain's name change for me, when he becomes from Rain, which is the son of a king and a queen, to be a wren, which is, you know, a bird that kind of flies all over the place. I just felt just connected with that. I felt really connected with that. And so I like the fact that you're a pantser, because these ideas sometimes they come when you don't have it planned out so much. Now, I know some authors out there are saying, you people are absolutely insane. You have to plot out everything. You have to, because how do you know where you're going? But like we both believe, getting there is half the fun. It's like getting lost. And when you get lost, you see the most beautiful scenery, because you're looking for your way home, but on the way you can enjoy the sights. And that's what I love about pantsing. And so to let all of you know, we're talking today to Chris Watcher. She is the author of the book, The Sorcerer's Bane, which is book one of the 7-word series. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So go ahead and get your copy today. I started this book today, and I was joking around with Chris saying I almost didn't want to do the show because I wanted to finish this book. That's how good this book is. If you like Game of Thrones, if you like Terry Goodkind, if you like Terry Brooks, you're definitely going to love The Sorcerer's Bane, available on Amazon.com. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Chris about her works, and about her book, The Sorcerer's Bane. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on The Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services, to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products, to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the Queen of Tuesday Night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you are here with me today. We're talking to author Chris Watcher. She's the author of the book, The Sorcerer's Bane, book one of the seven-word book series, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And let me tell you, this book is absolutely phenomenal. I want you to get a copy of this, not tomorrow, not 2 days after today. Get it today. You're going to love this book, especially if you like your fantasy with depth and you like your fantasy with a lot of twists and turns. Particularly to me, if you like Game of Thrones and you like Terry Goodkind, Terry Brooks, and some of the other ones out there, this is on par, probably better than those books out there. You may be saying, Parker, you're kidding me. You're pulling my leg. I promise you I am not pulling your leg. The Sorcerer's Bane is absolutely phenomenal and weaves a wonderful tale. And it's book one of three that's currently available on Amazon. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead and get your copy of The Sorcerer's Bane today. And with me to continue discussing her book is Chris Watcher. Chris, once again, thank you for being with me on the show to discuss this book. You already know I'm a fan. You already know I have the whole series. You already know I'm not going to be sleeping tonight to finish this book. You already know that. And so I'm really excited to continue to let our listeners know more and more about this. And so when you're developing this idea, what was that moment that created the genesis of the story?
Well, as I had said, when I got home from the one meeting, I sat down at my laptop and this sentence came to me. Now, the sentence is somewhat modified, and it does occur in the book, but not in the position. Originally, it was the very first sentence. Travis Ilk was a seasoned world skipper. He skipped the lines between the worlds of Aachen for the better part of 40 years. I don't even know where that sentence came from, but it was the first line. I typed it as was, and I let the story sort of flow from me. That's not to say that everything that I did came out like the way I wanted it to come out. I found there were times when I would sort of be stumped on, okay, where am I going now? And I don't know if you'd call that writer's block or not. For me, personally, what it meant, and I learned this as I went along writing, was that the last thing I had written wasn't what it needed to be. So I would have to go back, look at what I'd written, and then tweak that, change that, sometimes wipe it out completely and rewrite a section. And then when it was what it needed to be, I could move forward because the thoughts would start flowing again.
Let me ask you a question, because this is a really biggie in Christian circles when it comes to fantasy. It's gaining more acceptance now, but for a very long time, Christian fantasy and speculative fiction was the redheaded stepchild of the industry. For a long time, people equated sweet romances or sweet books like Amish books or sweet historicals like I write, different things with Christian fiction. And speculative fiction was considered, okay, is speculative fiction only if Frank Peretti writes it? And so, and mind you, I love Frank Peretti. You know, kudos to Frank Peretti, Ted Dekker, all those, okay. But at the same time, one of the elements that people are so nervous about when it comes to Christian speculative fiction is the use of magic. And magic is a definite element in The Sorcerer's Bane, even the title, The Sorcerer. That gets you know that this is a book full of magic. And so What were some, if any, critiques did you receive from maybe your Christian brothers and sisters who say, you know what, Chris, it's really good that you wrote a book, but I can't read this because you have magic in it. What has been some of the critique that you've received for implementing that element in your story, if any?
I actually really haven't gotten much about the magic. And I think part of the reason why is because it's not set up where they're doing real incantations or things like that. It very much evolves from the atmosphere of the seven worlds of Aachen themselves. Like, it's part of the air that they breathe. And there are people who just have the ability to manipulate those energies. Now, when the sorcerer does do what he does, it's like he's like writing on the air, sort of, or speaking, but we don't hear anything specific. So it very much is almost intrinsically embedded in the worlds themselves rather than something that people make happen. They pull forth from what's there.
And that's a good way to kind of put boundaries on it, because this is a serious thing, because people are worried about, you know, is my kid going to want to be a sorcerer like in Harry Potter? Right. Are they going to want to be wizards? And these are things that Christian circles have talked about. They've gotten into very deep discussions. Sometimes they've gotten into long arguments, even come to blows even on some of these type of things. And I'm not one to ever do that because I think it's okay. You know, I don't like I read books of magic as a kid, but I never once thought I was going to do it.
Right.
You would have the imagination of, hey, I'm going to be a witch and I'm going to do this, or a good witch or whatever. And, you know, but I never thought I want to do this. But it's a real concern that some parents have. So what age group would you recommend to read The Sorcerer's Bane? What age group?
Well, not so much for the magic, but because of the level of darkness in it, I really think it should be PG-13. I have one of the young ladies who was one of my early supporters once I started putting the books out. She fell in love with the series, so she had purchased a copy of The Sorcerer's Bane for her brother's 13th birthday. And at 13, he just really devoured the book and read it multiple times within a couple of week period. But I think younger than that, the darkness might be a bit much.
Yeah. And so, mind you, I have no problem with it. I think it's okay. But just for those of you who are listening, because you like fantasy, you want to get some new fantasy, you know, keep it like PG-13, like, you know, 13 and up. I would say 13 and up, because the darkness, even though you have it dark, it's kind of veiled, so it's not explicit. You know, it's not like, like I say, like Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is explicit. I read Game of Thrones. It's explicit, okay? So it's nothing like that. That's why I said it's even better, because you don't need
explicit.
That explicitness to do what you do. And that's why I think your story, it just excels at giving that level of detail, that level of immersion in the fantasy world. And for those of you who are listening in, you want to ask a question or weigh in with any questions you have, just simply press the 1. I see you hanging online. If you want to weigh in, ask a question, or make a comment, just press 1. We'll be glad to take your questions. Now, let me ask you this, Chris. So I know for every book I write, I fall in love or I hate a character. I know I do, because these people are a part of you. So what is the character so far in this series that you love to hate or hate to love, or love to love and hate to hate? So tell us which character gets you.
This is really hard, because it becomes very difficult, because I don't want to give spoilers, because I've written all the way through book 4 and I see where the whole thing is heading and where it ends. I guess the character that I love to hate the most would be Sigmund, because he's a demon and there is just no good in him. He also has another demon who comes into the story and works with him, and his name is Heinrich, and those two are just, they're just evil. And but as far as, like, I don't want to give any spoilers because of what happens in book 4. Everybody else, I think, just has a place in my heart to one degree or another. Even the characters we would consider despicable, they're human. And so they're still God's children. And so it's really hard. As far as characters that I love, of course I love Rain. He's, you know, he was like, I raised three sons. He became like my fourth son while I was writing the books. And, you know, I put him through so much, just so much that last year I had to have some work done on a tooth. And I'm there in the dentist chair, you know, leaning back, and they're messing around in my mouth. And I could just see him above me, and he's just sort of laughing, saying, ha, 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 now it's your turn.
Yeah. How's it like that now, Mom? You know, you created me.
Right.
How you like that? You know?
Right, right.
And I know about the dentist. They like to stand on top of the chair and get the drill and get to going at you, you know. And so I totally understand that. I remember when this is totally off topic. When I had dentist work done, and the dentist is, you know, they have this massive – instrument hammer like thing, and he's going, and he's grunting.
Yeah.
In my, I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, you have strong roots. I said, that is not a compliment, and you grunting like that definitely doesn't make it a compliment. But anyway, so I digress. So sorry, dentist stories. You can always share dentist story. So
yeah, right.
You know.
Right.
I like the fact that with this book, you've explored a lot of dark things very quickly. And another thing that you did, and I would love to get your thoughts about this, children are extremely resilient. Even though they can go through a lot, they're extremely resilient. And I think that's a gift that God gave children particularly is, you know, even during the Black Plague, children were still playing games. You see what I'm saying? Like they can't, you know, ashes, ashes, we all fought.
Right.
And to me, that's just an example of the resiliency of children. And one thing that Rain does, he bounces back from a lot of things that happen. He adjusts to it.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, and I'm not spoiling the story, just real quickly. First of all, the poor boy gets kidnapped. Okay, heartache number one, okay? Second thing, he gets this wire, for the lack of a better term, implanted in him that robs him of his memories, and he can't talk. But you know what? He learns to adapt. And just that adaptability of children, I think that's why they make such great characters and stories, because children do have that ability to adapt, even in dark times. Sometimes they adapt by staying away from it. Sometimes they adjust to it, but they do have that ability to adapt. And so what made you want to use a small character like a six-year-old kid? Because he's 6 years old going through all these horrific things. He's six. Why not make it, like some people say, why not make him older? Why make him six? What was your reasoning behind that? Or is this how the character just molded itself to you?
Well, I think it's a combination of both the character molding itself to me and the fact that he needed to be innocent, but we as humans are not innocent, you know, like God needs to be inside us. So when he's kidnapped and this ember is planted within him, that ember is the one, and that ember is what keeps him going through all the horrible things that he goes through. So I think starting at that young an age, also introducing Warren and Anne into his life, like Warren is the teacher who brings him to understand that this ember that's in you has come from the one, and the one is special, and you're special. Even though Warren doesn't know who he is, doesn't know he's the child of prophecy, he still understands that Ren, that he knows this child is Ren, is still a child of the one and still precious to the one. And that's an important lesson for Ren to learn and for Warren to emphasize. And then Anne is just there. I mean, she is just the steady character throughout the whole thing. She's the older sister that Ren never had. And so she's just this constant support for him.
And I like Anne because she comes at a moment where it's dark for him. You know, he's like,
yes.
I cannot get a breather. And as I'm reading this, I'll say, please give this boy a break. I'm literally screaming at you reading this. Like, Chris, you have to give this boy just a break, a little bit of a break. And Anne comes along. I say, oh, thank God. You know, I am serious.
Yes.
Hurting for this poor child. Like, please give him a break. And Anne comes and heals his wounds. And I was just like, oh, thank you. And it just made the story kind of uplift that even in the midst of darkness, it's not as dark as it can be. I think when
right.
we really, people always say that you know, religion, particularly Christianity, is makes it dark, and they say it was the dark ages. I said, no, Christianity gives us light, because if
yes.
we didn't have Christ, we would truly be in darkness, and I don't think we would comprehend just how dark that would be. And that's why The
right.
Sorceress Bane is such a wonderful story for you to pick up today and get your copy of, because Chris does an effective job of showing what darkness looks like. But no matter how dark it is, the light always shines brighter in the darkness. And that's one of the elements that The Sorcerer's Bane does. Now, so that quick saying, the light shines brighter in darkness, from the Crossover Alliance, for those of you who listen to the show, I always play the Crossover Alliance's ad. But it really does shine brighter in the darkness, and those are being experienced in Rain's life. You want to know what I'm talking about? Pick up your copy of The Sorcerer's Bane today. You will not be disappointed. It's a wonderful story, and I already know it's going to be a wonderful series. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. When we come back, more with Chris, The Sorcerer's Bane, and taking your questions and comments. You can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stuff with your questions and comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use as discussion questions. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, I am so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to Chris Watcher. She is the author of the book, The Sorcerer's Bane, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It's book one of the 7-word series. And let me tell you, this book is absolutely phenomenal. Go ahead and get your copy today. You won't be disappointed, especially if you like shows like Game of Thrones, if you like fantasy like Terry Goodkind and Terry Brooks, or some of the even Christian ones like C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. This is the book for you. You are definitely going to enjoy it. I already do, and I'm just so excited to be talking to Chris about it. One thing that gives me a lot of pleasure, especially when I enjoy the book, I get to rip apart my author's head to see what were you thinking when you wrote this scene. And so what I'm going to do right now is read a quick excerpt from The Sorcerer's Bane, and I hope you don't mind me doing that. You didn't know I was going to do that, but I'm going to go ahead and read a quick excerpt from here. I'm trying to think of which one. I'm trying to think of which one that's not too dark, but dark enough to kind of let people know we're dealing with here. So let's see. I'm looking at here. I had to go back several pages. So here we go. After what happens here is that Rain has been kidnapped, and he's been basically given into slavery. And so he finds out exactly what that slavery is going to look like as far as with time. And so I'm going to read just from this excerpt. Ponce cleared his throat and recited as if reading a formal document. Although normal wear and tear are expected and allowed, the merchandise is to be treated as precious. Damage to the back is acceptable, as Master Sigmund is sure discipline will prove necessary from time to time. In fact, I had to employ some on the way here. There will be allowances made for the occasional wound received in the course of said occupation, assassin. It is imperative that the face be preserved pristine at all costs. I'm sure you understand why. There will be no tattoos or other unnecessary markings and no piercings. As agreed, the food allowance is for one meal a day. Anything more comes out of your expenses. Clothing is at your expense as well. Any necessary healing may be covered by Lord Sigmund if a written explanation of said injuries is submitted and approved. Otherwise, you are responsible for any additional care cost. I will come monthly for inspections, and written reports will be expected on my arrival. Lord Sigmund will visit semi-annually to determine if you are worth what you are charging. Payment will be made in monthly installments during inspection, and final payment will be awarded when the culminating contract is fulfilled by the slave in accordance with Lord Sigmund's specifications. This is scheduled for the day of the boy's 16th birthday. Ponce paused and leveled a sickly grin at Coronis. Lord Sigmund trusts that the results of your training will be exceptional, worth every somme of the small fortune he is paying. He will be most displeased if you have not achieved perfect submission melded with a consummate master's assassin skill by the date of the last contract. Are you still in agreement with these terms as stated in the contract you signed with Lord Sigmund at his estate last month? Yeah, yeah, the bear of a man growled. He looked down at Wren, wrinkling his nose as if he smelt something foul. Sigmund may own you, but for the next 10 years, I will be your master here. I'm Von Coronis, and this is my training compound. You will obey me as you would Sigmund. 10 years? Wren's heart sank into his stomach, but outwardly he just stared at the hawking man and nodded. And that's an excerpt from The Sorcerer's Bane of the Seven Words book series, which is available on Amazon.com. As I was reading this, I couldn't help but feel sorry for just how bereft of feeling this whole thing was. And I thought about slavery in general, and I thought about how people can treat other people as objects. And that's exactly what happened here. And so what are some of your thoughts as you read this? Because sometimes you read it and you hear someone else read it, you kind of go, wow, that was pretty cool, Chris. You know, you kind of say that to yourself, Chris. You know, so what are some of your thoughts as you read and hear that as the author, and as you have gotten people's opinions of this story and feedback. What has been some of your thoughts about that?
It's almost, you know, you talked about the idea of light and darkness in a soul, and at this point, it's the beginning of the darkness for Wren, and like just at 6 years old to face the fact that you know nothing except the past couple of days that you've spent with this man whom you're terribly afraid of, and then now this man is handing you over to another man who's big and scary, and they don't see you as a person. They just see you as merchandise. And it's, once again, putting Wren in that situation where he's got to face that his life is going to be terrible. In 10 years to a child of 6 years old, 10 years sounds like it's forever. And yeah, so for me, it's like we needed to feel where he was at that point, because it's coming forward then from that, and that it's going to go down and down. But then when those shafts of light come through, they're so bright and so meaningful then.
You know, when you said about 10 years to a child, I had to kind of laugh a little bit, because I've been married 11 years. And I'm like, I totally understand what you mean. I totally feel you, Ray. 11 years. You know, no, I'm joking. My husband's birthday is today, actually. You know,
oh,
but yeah, I totally. hey, happy birthday, baby. But I totally understand where you're coming from. And, you know, and I thought about the children of Israel when I read that part. I was talking about the children of Israel where when they got sold into captivity, and the Lord told them, bed down. You're going to be here for a while, you know,
yes.
because of their disobedience. In this case, Ren hadn't did anything. He was just the son of the king, you know, the king and the queen.
Yes.
Whatever happened in the past, which I have not gotten to yet, so don't tell me. I have not gotten to that part yet. But, you know, Ren's innocent, but the children of Israel have been disobedient. And the Lord said, you're not going to stay here, but bed down for a while. You're going to be here for a minute. And, you know, and I thought about
yeah.
that and how even during that time period, some of us are going through seasons of want right now. Some of us are going through seasons
yes.
of I'm stuck at a dead-end job. I don't want to be here. Some of us are going through my finances just won't get right. Some of us are going through I am sick. I cannot get well no matter what I do. Some of us are going through, you know what, I don't have enough of this. My children are doing this. My husband is doing this. We are going through seasons of want, and it seems that this is going to always stay there. But one
yes.
thing you said in this book is that no matter the circumstances, Warren says, no matter the circumstances, maybe I'm put here and I can trust the one who actually knows what's going on. I can trust
yes.
the one who created me. I can trust the one who gave me what I needed to succeed, that no matter what state I am in, I can be content in that. When we hear those words of Paul in the New Testament, that's hard to hear, especially when you're looking like, I'm in pain right now. Cause I know some
yes.
of my brothers and sisters who have chronic illness. They're in pain. They are in pain. They say, how can this be a good thing, Lord Jesus? How can this be a good thing? I know some people who lost their house, lost their jobs, lost their income. Guess what? That was my parents. When they lost everything, when they had foreclosure, they had lived with us for several years. Guess what, though? When we look back, it was all to protect my nephew, to get him where he's at a point where when he had his autism, we were able to diagnose it quickly, get help for him, and now he's doing well. But at the time, you're like,
yes.
this hurts. You know, you got to
yes.
go like, this hurts. And wherewith to be content no matter what state you're in, that's hard to hear. But one thing
yes.
that comes through in The Sorcerer's Bane, even though you're using the vehicle of fantasy and speculative fiction, is that no matter what happens, there are shafts of light in that darkness. And that definitely comes through as you read The Sorcerer's Bane. And for those of you wondering about this particular book, if you can read it out of order, no. You have to read book one, book two, book three. That's why I'm telling everyone to go ahead and get the whole series. Book one, two, and three are there. She already killed me by saying, all right, I got book four going, and you're killing me because I want it now, so I can just have it now. So when I stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning tonight reading this, I don't have to wait too long. But we'll talk about that later, Chris, probably offline. So, you know, and so tell us a little bit about books two and books three as we get close to the end of our show. Tell us about books two and books three. And, again, without giving us any spoilers, what can we expect as the reader?
Well, book two leads us into there's a shifting of the main element of evil to another personality that comes in book two. Book two, Rain begins his journey. The purpose of the prophecy is to alert people that there are seven words, the words of the one, to each of the worlds of Aachen, and each world has a word that is hidden somewhere on that world. And Rain must begin his journey then to collect all seven, because once he has achieved bringing them together, it's only at that point that he can bind the living darkness, which is Sigmund and his colleagues, the other demons. So as we move into book two, he begins his journeys and he leaves the main world of Corallus and he travels to the world of Varys, which is the mining planet. It's a small planet. The world of Soria wants to take over Varys and they've gotten some power over them. So they're almost enslaving the whole planet there and using it for their own benefit. So it's the longest world that he spends time in, except for Corallus, is the time spent on Varys. And on Varys, he meets certain people, well, a certain person, I should say, that develops a relationship then. Book three, then, which is The Deceit of Darkness, really does delve more into the idea that the darkness, the demons, are going to propel their agenda not necessarily through outright war, but through deceit and lies and controlling people and manipulating people. And Rain moves forward on collecting the scrolls, meeting ancients. The guardians of the scrolls are ancients, and it tells a little bit about the ancients who were there on the worlds of Aachen before the humans arrived. I also have more information on the different worlds and the ancients on my website, which is chriswachter.com. No, excuse me, cswachter.com. So that's moving him forward each step. And book three is the only book that really ends with a relative cliffhanger.
Okay, when you say cliffhanger, that makes my heart stop, okay? It makes my heart stop, by the way, Chris. But I trust you, you're going to weave a wonderful tale. I can't wait to delve into more of this this world that you've created. And I'm very excited about it, definitely so excited about it, because like I said earlier in the broadcast, just reading this, it brought me back to the reason why I love speculative fiction and why I support organizations like, we both are part of Realm Makers, and I also support Speculative Faith, Crossover Alliance. I support these Christian organizations that are doing Christian spec fiction and doing it to show that this is a vehicle of fiction that can definitely spread the gospel about. So those of you who have been following me for the last 5 years, you know I'm a huge advocate for speculative fiction, especially Christian speculative fiction. And I think just the uniqueness of these ideas that you bring, they still have about gospel truths that we all need. Now, mind you, not everyone who's on the show writes Christian speculative fiction, but this is definitely there, but it's extremely subtle, which I like. I like the subtleness of this, because a person who's not a believer can actually read this and still enjoy it. But I also think, too, as they're reading, they'll start to get little hits in the back of their head like, okay, maybe they have a point here. Oh my goodness, when is this kid going to get a break from the one if he's so powerful? I think it's going to start bringing those kind of questions to light. And I think that's why it's an effective tool for those who aren't believers as well. One of the questions I get asked a lot for the show is, if I'm not a Christian, can I listen to your show? Yes. If I'm not a Christian, can I read this book? Yes. If I'm not a Christian, can I enjoy this book? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And so
yes.
I like
to
let our listeners know that, you know. So, Chris, how have readers responded overall to this series?
Overall, I've gotten a really, really good response to it. I've had so many people say things like, I started it and I couldn't put it down. And I just had a person who finished book three the other day and like, oh my gosh, I read book one, read book two, read book three. I can't wait for book four. So for all those people who might be waiting for book four, including you, Parker, it will be out in November. Part of my reason in doing this was, I hate waiting for sequels. I really hate waiting for the next book. So that's why I had them all written, and I'm just working on editing and getting them out one after another. But, yeah, the response has overall been very positive. I've had people say, I had one gentleman, older man, he was one of my beta readers, so he read through the whole series, and he was so positive about how it really helped reinforce his faith, that it was meaningful to him. I've had another person who came out of an abusive childhood say to me that when I expressed the feelings and how this child dealt with it, it rang true to this person because that was how they dealt with it. So they understood, and it rang true and relevant then because of the way it was expressed. So, yeah, people have been I've had some people who did not like the darkness, and they admitted they did not like the darkness, and it was hard for them. But for me, it's like we talked about earlier. There's darkness in the world. There are children in abusive situations now in reality. There are children in slavery now in reality. So we can't deny that these things happen. Is God still in control? Yes, absolutely he is. But terrible things do happen as well.
That's why I say, you know, we can be mad. We could say, that's why I challenge people who say Christian fiction should be a certain way. I challenge them for that. I have to use Rebecca Luella, I have to use her words. She said, is Christian fiction safe fiction? And when she said that,
yes.
I totally was on board what she meant, you know, because what if through our fiction, what if by exploring these dark themes, we bring someone to light? And that's why
yeah.
I really enjoy The Sorcerer's Bane, enjoying this series. Like I said, I already bought all three of them. I already know I'm going to be up late tonight. And I told to our listeners, I was talking to Chris before the broadcast, and I said, I'm mad at you. And she's like, why are you mad? I said, because I have a book deadline, and I have writing projects, and it ain't going to get done today. I can tell. My husband, I'm going to have to throw him a bone so he can eat because it's his birthday. And I'm going to throw him a bone or something, but it ain't happening today. I can tell I'm not going to get what I need done today because I'm going to be reading The Sorcerer's Bane. And you will, too, when you go ahead and get your copy of this book available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. You're going to enjoy this. And what I want you to do is this. Once you read this book, make sure you leave a review. Reviews are so essential for authors because it lets us know that we did what we said we were going to do. And if we didn't, we want to know about that too. So the next book that we get, we can get better at this thing called writing. And then you can tell her, hey, I love this part or I didn't like this part. It doesn't matter. Her opinion is very valuable because we use those comments that are constructive to get better at this thing called writing. So we got about 4 minutes before the show ends today, Chris. And once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show. I want people to have an opportunity to follow you online. So go ahead and tell us what your social media outlets or what your website is.
Well, as I said, the website is cswachter.com. I have Facebook page, C.S. Wachter on Facebook. And I also have Chris Wachter on Facebook. And then I am on Instagram, and I'm trying to remember what my thing is on there. It's ehr.is, I think 7443 or something like that. But I've got a lot of things listed under the hashtags of the seven words and of the Sorcerer's Bane and that kind of thing. And that's, I don't really have a very big platform. As I said, I'm 65 years old. This whole platform thing is all new to me.
It's okay. I people have said, Parker, you need to get on Instagram. And I'm like, I don't get Instagram. I just don't get it. I'm like, so I take a picture and do what? It's like Pinterest. Like, I got a Pinterest account, and I'm sitting there for like 5 minutes looking at pictures, and then I say, is this my life now, looking at pictures? And I can't get into it anymore. So I understand where you're coming from. I work Facebook a lot, and I work Twitter because I like Twitter and Facebook. I kind of get those, but everyone's like, you need to get on Instagram. You know, so like, all right, fine, I'll get on Instagram eventually, so that'll happen. So, Chris, this show is always about encouraging authors whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so. And for every guest I have on my show, I want you to encourage that author out there whom God has given the gift to write to do so.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. If you feel the desire to write, don't worry that it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect. Get a first draft done. Allow the Lord to lead you, whether it's through an outline or by the seat of your pants. Either way, allow Him to guide you. But just do it. Just do it. Once you have a draft, you can have people critique it. You can edit it. You can put another draft through. But until you've gotten that first one down there, you're not going to be able to move forward.
I like that you said that, Chris. You know, get it done. The hardest part is getting it done. For those of you who've been following me, you know how long it took me to write my first book. It took me 10 years to write my first book, and the Lord has blessed me now to where I'm working on my 14th, and that's because I got the first one done. And so we want to definitely make sure that as you write, no matter if you're writing your first or your 50th, your 100th, it doesn't matter. Keep writing. God has given you that gift. So go ahead and write stuff. Chris, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. I really sincerely enjoyed having you, and I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you so much, Parker. It was just a joy to be here.
And we were talking today to Chris Watcher. She is the author of the book, The Sorcerer's Bane, which is available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and get your copy of this book today. If you want to follow her, simply go to her website, cswatcher.com, and you can get her books anywhere online. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of the show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.